Welcome to the Shir in Targumim, Parshas Titzaveh. The Shir this evening is sponsored by Marty and Karen Wolfson, marking the Yahrzeit tonight of Marty's mother, Ziva Bas Moshe. Shalom Shalav and Aliyah, Shasim Moshe Nachasurach, and the Torah Mitzvahs and Raisim Tovim that the family are involved in. We've noted before that the Targum, sometimes in a word or two, can get involved with and even take sides in what could be a great debate among the Rishonim, among the medieval authorities, that even has implications in terms of halacha. And sometimes, very often, because the Targum is so deceptively simple, it's giving a translation. It just seems like a very, very simple translation, but very often, what seems like a simple translation is really getting involved in a much, much broader issue. So there are two examples I want to share tonight. Towards the end of Parshas Titzaveh, we have examples of that idea. In one case, the Targum comes down firmly against a psak of the Rambam in Mishneh Torah, and in the other case, the Targum comes down firmly on the side of the Rambam against the Rashi. In terms of giving a translation of one of the words in the Torah.
The other way around, the Rambam goes against the Targum?
Correct. Good. I just want to start with the following. Perek Lamed, Pasuk Zayin, so the Torah says as follows. V'hiktir olav Aaron k'tara samim, so on the Mizbeach, on the inner altar, Aaron would offer up k'tares samim, an incense made of different spices. Baboker, he would do so every morning. Behetivo es haneros yaktireno. When Aaron would be mative, when he would literally improve the lamps of the menorah, yaktireno, he would offer up the k'tares, he would offer up the incense. And the pasuk continues, pasuk ches, uvehalos Aaronus haneros beno arbayim yaktireno, and when Aaron would cause to raise the lamps of the menorah beno arbayim in the afternoon, he would also be makdir k'taras. He would also offer up the incense. K'taras tamid lifnei Hashem l'daros eichem. It is a constant k'taras, a constant incense before Hashem. For all the future generations. So basically, again, just to summarize what's going on over here in the Pasuk describes how there was an offering of ketores, of incense, that took place every morning, and there was an offering of ketores that took place every afternoon, and the bringing of the ketores both morning and afternoon was tied to something that had to do with the menorah. So the crux of the issue we're going to speak about is what was that thing that was associated with the menorah in the morning and in the evening. So the Torah uses a different verb in Pasuk Zayin and Pasuk Ches in describing what it was exactly that was done with the menorah. In Pasuk Zayin, when describing what Aaron did with the menorah in the morning, it says that he was meitiv es haneros, that literally he improved the lamps of the menorah. And then in Pasuk Ches, in describing what it was that Aaron did in the afternoon with the menorah, it says, uvahalos Aaron es haneros, when he would raise up the lamps of the menorah. So there's improving the lamps, and there's raising up the lamps. So what are these two things that are being described over here? So if you take a look in Rashi, Rashi writes, Behetivo, in Pasuk Zayin, Lashon Nikui Habazichin Shel HaMenorah. The word Behetivo, when he would improve, really means when he would clean out. Which is an interesting Musar idea, right? The best way to improve something very often is not to change it or bring in something new, but just to clean it. If you clean something out, maybe that's the best way to improve something. And, we don't know what's hidden under all of that grime, But every morning, so Aaron or the Kohen would be meitiv, he would improve the lamps, he would clean them. What would he do? Medashen hapsilos shenisrufu balaylo. He would remove the ash of the wicks which had burnt during the course of the night. V'hayo meitivan b'chol boker u'boker. And this act of cleaning out the lamps of the menorah and the removal of the ash was something that took place on a daily basis in the morning. In contrast, the next pasuk that describes what Aaron did with the menorah in the afternoon, the pasuk that says uvahalos Aaron es haneros beno arba'im yaktirena, that when he would raise up the lamps during the afternoon. So what does raising up mean? So Rashi writes uvahalos kishiyadliken, when he would light the lamps, lahalos livhasam, that when he would bring up the flame, he would cause the flame to rise up. That's an expression that means that he would light the menorah. What's implied in this Rashi is the following. The menorah was lit on a nightly basis. It would burn through the night, and the Kohen would come in the morning, find that the wicks had burned out overnight. It's like when you come Shabbos morning and the Shabbos candles have all burned out. So in the morning he would come, and finding that the lamps of the menorah were no longer burning, he would clean them out, he would remove the ash from the wicks, and the next time he would light the menorah would be the following night. So in other words, the menorah typically burned starting from the very late afternoon through the night, and the burning of the menorah was a nightly occurrence in the Beis HaMikdash. Most Rishonim understand that is the schedule that took place with regard to lighting the menorah. The menorah was lit at night. It was not lit during the day. It was lit starting from the very late afternoon, burned through the night, and in the morning everything had burned out, and the only avoda that was done with the menorah in the morning was basically cleaning it out and making it ready for the next time it would be lit in the late afternoon. The Rambam is generally understood as a dissenting opinion in his understanding of how the menorah was dealt with in the Beis HaMikdash. This is largely based on a Rambam in Hilchos Tmidin U'Musafin, Perek Gimel, where there he writes as follows. In Halacha Yud, the Rambam writes, Dishun HaMenorah, the cleaning out of the ashes of the menorah, vahatavas neroseha, and fixing up its lamps. Again, that's the same term that the Torah uses in the first pasuk at the end of Tetzaveh. Behetivo es haneros, the fixing up or the improvement of its lamps, baboker ubeinho arbayim, in the morning and in the afternoon, mitzvahs aseh, is a positive commandment. Shneimar yaroch oso Aaron uvonov, right? That the pasuk says, the beginning of Parashas Tetzaveh, Aaron and his sons should set up the menorah me'erev ad boker, from evening till morning. Now, the way the term me'erev ad boker is generally understood by the Rishonim is that the menorah should be lit in the evening and should burn till morning. As we'll see, the way the Rambam seems to understand that phrase is that the menorah should be attended to evening and morning as well. So he goes on to describe a little bit about the lighting of the menorah, and then he says in Halacha Yerbeis, Mahu Dishon HaMenorah, what is the cleaning out of the menorah, the removing of the ash? Koner Shekava, whenever a flame in a lamp has gone out, Meser Hapsila, so the Kohen would remove the wick which had been singed, v'chol hashemen shebaner, and he removes all of the oil, whatever is left. We know from Chanukah licht and sometimes Shabbos licht, you put in a wick into oil, and sometimes the wick burns, so all the oil is burned up, and sometimes, the wick kind of goes out in the middle, and there's still a residue of oil, in the canister. So, the Kohen comes, he sees what's going on in the menorah. He removes whatever's left of the wick. He removes whatever's left of the oil. Kol ha-shemen shebaner u'mekancho. he cleans out the inside of the lamp. V'nosein bo psila acheres, he puts in a new wick, v'shemen acher, and he puts in new oil. B'mido shuchatzi log, he puts in the requisite amount of oil. Umadlik ner shekava, and he relights it. Right? So, if you recall, the Rambam had said that this dishun ha-menorah, this cleaning out of the menorah, takes place at night, you know, or in the late afternoon, and in the morning. So the Rambam, in describing what happens both in the late afternoon and in the morning, describes how the Kohen comes to the menorah, whatever has burned out, he cleans out, and then he adds in new oil, a new wick, and lights it again. It sounds like, according to the Rambam, the lighting of the menorah is something that takes place not once a day in the late afternoon, but twice a day, in the late afternoon and also in the morning. The menorah is being lit in the late afternoon to go through the night, and the menorah is being lit in the morning to go through the day. It sounds like the Rambam is describing a double lighting of the menorah, you know, that the menorah would be lit to last for approximately 12 hours constantly, but the menorah was lit during the day as well. It sounds like, according to the Rambam.
Ner Tamid, please.
Yeah, so our practice of having a Ner Tamid in Shul perhaps is related to the Rambam's understanding of the menorah. Right, but Tamid over there in the menorah
regularly,
the same way, you know, that, well, okay, yeah. Right, the concept of Talmud over there means regularly, according to most, you know, understandings of the term. However, the Rambam somewhat uniquely seems to be describing a process of lighting the menorah that would take place twice a day. Again, he doesn't distinguish between the evening and the morning. He says that you come, you find, you know, that the menorah needs attending to, and then you light it.
Is that why we light in shul in the morning as well?
Right, you know, so the simple answer to that is it's more of a Pirsumei Nisa thing. But according to the Rambam, it literally fits the way the menorah was dealt with in the Beis HaMikdash. In other words, whatever we're doing in Shul is similar to what was done in the Beis HaMikdash, according to the Rambam. Yeah.
So it's lit at night, and in the morning he cleans it,
right,
and then he lights it, according to the Rambam.
Right.
He lights it during the day.
Right.
And then he's going to light it again at night.
Right.
Correct?
Right.
Does he clean it before he lights it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So in other words, the process
too clean.
The process is exactly the same in the morning as it is in the evening.
Okay.
Right? Yeah.
The miracle of Hanukkah was that it lasted for 8 days. You're saying that it lasts only 12 hours. You have to rewrite it.
Right.
So what happened during the miracle? They didn't have to light it again, or?
Right, no, so it just burned constantly for those 8 days.
Okay.
Right.
No,
so they right, so that exactly.
So was it a totally different thing than whatever was the norm?
Well, yeah, that's why it was a miracle. I mean, that's, you know, it lasted.
No, the year that had the oil,
yeah,
that lasted, would last for 1 day or 12 hours.
Right.
In your example.
Right.
But it lasted 24 times 8.
Right, right. No, so it was 16 times the miracle, in a sense, you know, as opposed to just, right, 100%. But then the Rambam continues. And he makes the following statement: "V'hadlokas haneros hi hatovasam." The term which appears in Chumash and which is discussed by the Gemara, which the Rambam uses, "hatovas haneros," again literally the improvement of the lamps. That means lighting the lamps. Hadlokas haneros hi hatovasam, right? As opposed to Rashi, who says explicitly that hatovas uve behetivo es haneros means lashon nikui, you're cleaning out the lamps. The Rambam says to be meitiv es haneros, to improve the lamps. What does it mean to improve them? The ultimate improvement is to cause them to be lit again. So it's very interesting. According to the Rambam, you have two psukim that are describing the same procedure, but using two different words to describe that procedure. In Pasuk Zayin, when it says, "V'hiktir olav Aaron kataras samim, baboker baboker behitivo es haneros," the phrase behitivo es haneros means when he lights the lamps. And in the next pasuk, "Uvahalos Aaron es haneros beno arbaim yaktireno," the phrase "Uvahalos Aaron es haneros" also means when he lights the lamp. So you have to figure out, according to the Rambam, why the lighting of the lamps in the afternoon and the lighting of the lamps in the morning should be described in different terms. It's exactly the same procedure, according to the Rambam. But leaving aside whatever the answer is to that question, the fact seems to be that the Rambam is describing an identical procedure both in the afternoon and in the morning, whereby, you know, the lamps of the menorah are cleaned out, new oil is put in, a new wicks are put in, and it's lit again, and this is on a 12-hour cycle as opposed to a 24-hour cycle, the way it's normally understood. A lot of literature has been written on this Rambam. I mean, the question, of course, is what is the point of lighting the menorah during the daytime? To which, you know, the standard answer is, well, let me ask you what the point of lighting the menorah is during the nighttime. It's not like the Ribono Shel Olam needs the light. And in fact, you know, the fact that according to the Rambam, the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash is lit during the day can be understood as showing that the point of the menorah is not functional. It's not simply, you know, lahavdil, to provide the Ribono Shel Olam with light. I mean, that's certainly not the case, right? But it's to show whatever it's meant to show. You know, it's not functional, you know, in the sense that you just light a lamp in order to be able to see by. But that's the Shitas HaRambam. Now, the commentaries on the Rambam point out that the Targum Onkelos over here seems to say explicitly against the position of the Rambam. How so? So, again, in his typical fashion, in very, very few words. In Pasuk Zayin, when the phrase Behetivo es Haneros appears, which according to the Rambam means when he lights the lamps, the Targum Onkelos translates that phrase as Ba'as Konuse Yosbot Sinayo, when the Kohen prepares or fixes or establishes the lamps. In contrast, in Pasuk Ches, where the Pasuk says Uvahalos Aaron es Haneros, when Aaron raises up the lamps, there the Targum Onkelos writes Uvaadlokus Aaron Yatzbos Sinayo, when Aaron kindles the lamps. The fact that the Targum Onkelos translates the second one as kindling and does not translate the first one as kindling, say the Mefarshim, seems to point to the fact that the Targum Onkelos only understands that the menorah is being kindled in the evening, as per the second pasuk. Whatever it is that's going on in the morning, and again, we saw Rashi says, and most Mefarshim say, what's going on in the morning is a cleaning of the lamps, not a lighting of the lamps. But it seems like the Targum Onkelos does not understand that it's a lighting of the lamps in the morning, because if he did, he would have used the word v'adlokus in the first pasuk as well. The fact that he only uses it when describing what was being done with the lamps in the morning, in the evening, not what was being done with the lamps in the morning, sounds like the Targum Onkelos is going against the position of the Rambam over here. Or if you will, the Rambam is going against the position of the Targum Onkelos over here. Right? Okay, so, you know, the Rambam might say that, you know, he has other sources to, you know, to buttress his position. But again, given the fact that the Targum Onkelos, you know, we have a tradition goes back to Sinai itself, the fact that the Targum Onkelos is at odds with the Rambam, you know, is certainly a very significant point, and he did so with one word, right? The Targum Onkelos with one word has indicated that he holds differently than the Rambam, you know, in this regard. Right, so you're saying, why break it, you know, according to the non-Rambamites, what's the point of, you know, the cleaning being done 12 hours before the lighting? Right, so the truth is, logically, that's a very good point for the Rambam, because why would I come in, clean the menorah, and then not use it for another 12 hours? Just come in. So the answer might be, and again, this is a musavort, and any mother listening to this shir would certainly agree with this point. How could you leave the menorah dirty for the whole 12 hours? You have to clean up. You have to clean up. Even cleaning up isn't for the purpose of doing the next thing. Cleaning up is because it should be clean. So you let it burn through the night, and then at the end of the night, you know, when, you know, presumably the lamps have gone out, that's when you do the cleaning, right afterwards. You shouldn't have a dirty menorah. You know, don't let the dishes sit in the sink, you know, for 12 hours just because you're not going to have dinner for another 12 hours. You know, cleanliness is a value in it itself. I'm saying it somewhat tongue in cheek, but I do think, according to the non-Rambam camp, you know, that is to how to understand the significance of the Hatava Saneris.
Could it also be an issue of reason, or to be ready to light it immediately when the time comes?
Right. We say by Hanukkah licht, right? You're supposed to try to get the Hanukkah licht up and going, you know, so that you come right back home from shul and you light it right away, right? Okay, so that's one example where, again, with one word, the Targum Onkelos has weighed in on this debate between the Rambam and other Rishonim. There's one other example which I want to give, and that's just the very next pasuk, with regard to the offering up of ketores of incense. The parasha tells us pasuk tes perek lamed pasuk tes lo sa'alu alav ketores zara. You should not offer up on this inner mizbeach a ketores zara, a foreign ketores, a foreign incense. What exactly is a foreign incense? So Rashi over here writes as follows. Ketores zara, shum ketores shel nedava. You're not allowed to offer up a private incense on the inner mizbeach. Right? In other words, we find there's a concept when it comes to animal korbanos or wheat offerings, you know, the zvachim and the menachos, that there were some karbanos that were brought that were obligatory, and there were many karbanos that were brought that were voluntary, where, you know, there was no obligation to bring this particular karban, but a person could be menadev, a person could offer up, you know, could donate or dedicate a personal karban to the Beis HaMikdash, and that karban was brought on the regular mizbeach, the outside mizbeach, you know, just like an obligatory karban. So does the same thing apply when it comes to ketores? You know, maybe I'm in a very generous mood and I want to dedicate my own ketores to the Beis HaMikdash. So here the pasuk according to Rashi comes and says, no, there are two times every day where you offer up ketores on the inner mizbeach, and you, Mr. Private Person, don't have the right to be able to bring your own private ketores. Ketores is something which is only brought in official obligatory capacity. You know, not in a voluntary capacity. Anything other than the official ketores is called ketores zara, a foreign ketores, and is not allowed to be brought. That's the point of this pasuk according to Rashi. The Ramban quotes this Rashi, and he says it would seem that the Targum Onkelos differs with Rashi on this point. What does the Targum Onkelos write? So the Targum Onkelos writes, lo saskun alohi, you should not offer up on it, the inner mizbeach, ketores busmin nuchra'in, a ketores made of foreign spices. So he inserts the word spices into his translation of the pasuk. Not a foreign incense, but incense made of foreign or unusual spices. And says the Ramban, what the Targum Onkelos is saying is something very different than Rashi. Rashi is saying, don't bring the ketores as a voluntary korban. Now, even if you bring the exact same ketores, we know, you know, if you get to shul early enough, you know, there are 11 ingredients in the ketores, right? The korbanos talk about it, right? If you live in Eretz Yisrael, you get to say it at the end of davening also. If you daven Sfar, you get to say it at the end of davening. Fine, okay, good. But we know there's a formula, there's a recipe for the ketores. So according to Rashi, what the pasuk is saying is, don't bring even the traditional recipe of the ketores in a voluntary capacity. According to the Targum Onkelos, what the pasuk is saying is don't mess around with the recipe of the ketores. Don't bring a foreign ketores, i.e. a ketores that has non-traditional ingredients. You know, those 11, they're nice, but yeah, cumin. Everything has to have cumin, you know? So I'm going to put some cumin into the ketores, right? Or whatever, you know? I'm going to play around with the recipe. You're not allowed to do that. So that would be the ketores zara, the foreign ketores, as per the translation of Onkelos in this pasuk.
Rashi says,
yeah,
you can't bring it extra because it's not part of
it. But that's a different thing.
No, but
they're both true.
You would say if you use something foreign, you would be good.
No, I believe, in other words, both interpretations are true lahalacha. In other words, it's not as if there's a machlokas here in terms of, you know, what the halacha is. You know, the interpretation of Rashi is correct lahalacha, and the interpretation of Unkelos is correct lahalacha, and each one agrees with the other lahalacha. But in terms of what the pasuk is talking about, and what does Ketaras Zara mean, you know, so they have different interpretations as to which prohibition is being referenced over here. Here, the Rambam and the Targum Unkelos are in the same camp, right? The Targum Unkelos parted ways with the Rambam with regard to the lighting of the menorah, but here the Targum Unkelos and the Rambam made up, and they're back in the same camp together, as we see from, again, the Rambam in his typical, very, very terse kind of language. Where do we see this? So the Rambam, in Hilchos Klei HaMikdash, in Perek Beis, Halacha Ches, writes as follows. Chiser echad misamoneha. If a person eliminates even just a single one of the ingredients of the Ketaras, he's subject to a heavenly decree of death, right? That's something we read in the Karbanos in the morning. Chiser achas mikol samoneha chayiv misa. Right? Parenthetically, that's why traditionally Nusach Ashkenaz would not recite the Ketaras every day, because the fear was people were davening so fast, you know, they would not enunciate all of the ingredients of the Ketaras when they were davening. And there was an idea that not only if you leave out one of the ingredients of the Ketaras in actuality, but even if you just leave out mention of one of the ingredients of the Ketaras, you're skating on thin ice. You know, so that's why traditionally Nusach Ashkenaz did not recite Pitam HaKetaras on a daily basis. But in any case, Chiser Echad Misamoneh Chayiv Misa, if you leave out, says the Rambam, one of the ingredients of the Ketaras, the person is subject to the death penalty. Why? Shaharei Nases Ketaras Zara. Because a Ketaras whose ingredients have been altered, whose recipe has been altered, you added or you took out some of the ingredients, that becomes now a Ketaras Zara, a foreign Ketaras. Where did the Rambam get the idea that a Ketaras whose ingredients have been altered is a Ketaras Zara, is a foreign Ketaras? Where did he get... What's that?
Aaron's
sons. So there it says an Esh Zara. Okay, very, very good, right? Uses that term as well, you know, that they brought a foreign fire. But it would seem that the Rambam, you know, in that very, very terse language of his, is working off the Targum Unkelos on our Pasuk. Our Pasuk says, don't bring a Ketaras Zara, don't bring a foreign Ketaras. And what does a Ketaras Zara mean? So according to the Targum Unkelos, Ketaras Busmin Nechra'in, a Ketaras that has foreign ingredients, which again, either means that you put in other ingredients other than those described in the Torah, or by the same token, you took out or removed some of the ingredients as described in the Torah. In other words, you changed the recipe, you messed with the recipe. So that says the Rambam, again, that's what the Targum Unkelos is saying over here. That's the definition of Ketaras Zara. Just end with the following. The Targum Yonasan ben Uziel, as he so often does, comes at a left field with a totally different understanding of this Ketaras Zara. He says, Lo saskun alohi Ketaras busmin de amimin nuchra'in. Don't bring a Ketaras of foreign nations. In other words, don't bring the Ketaras of non-Jews on the Mizbeach. What does that mean? So if a non-Jew can bring a korban under normal circumstances. A non-Jew can, you know, a non-Jew's brought korbanos, you know, zvachim to the Beis HaMikdash, but a non-Jew can't bring the Ketaras to the Beis HaMikdash. So you say, why is that a novel idea? As we saw in Rashi, even a Jew can't bring his own personal Ketaras to the Beis HaMikdash. You have to use the official Ketaras. That's the only Ketaras that can be brought. So apparently the Yonasan ben Uziel is saying that if a non-Jew were to offer his own Ketaras with the proper ingredients to the Beis HaMikdash as a donation and say, you're not bringing this for me, I want this to be the official bringing of the Ketaras on a daily basis, you know, like a Parnas Hayom. I'm dedicating the Ketaras for today. I'm going to give, you know, today's Ketaras, you know, so a Jew apparently can do that, but a non-Jew doesn't have the right to do that, according to the Targum Yonasan ben Uziel. He can't be the Parnas Hayom. you know, for one of the days of bringing the Ketaris. That's what the Pasuk is talking about, according to the Yonos of Zeal. Again, a very, you know, sort of out of left field interpretation of the Pasuk itself. Wish everybody a wonderful Shabbos, and we should be able to understand the Targum a little bit better when we go through it this week.